message, the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. Anybody ready for a nap? I'm ready for a nap. One time I was doing a radio broadcast where I tape them up there. I think I fell asleep during the broadcast. I'm talking away and I'm going down like this and I'm still talking and I thought, did I fall asleep? I never checked it, so if there's a dead space on the broadcast, that's when I fell asleep. Luke 16. Jan and I intend to ride the Amtrak tonight. There's a train that goes regular schedule, leaves South Bend at midnight, and it gets in Rochester, New York at 10 in the morning. This time we're doing the sleeper car. And then it comes back, it leaves Rochester like 11 at night and gets South Bend about 9 in the morning. So it's a pretty nice run, especially when tolls cost about $60 back and forth, plus all the gas. And so Mario's not here. Mario works for Amtrak. He sits over here sometimes. But okay, Luke 16. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this, and I do ask you'd give us wisdom, each and every one of us. And I just pray that you'd help us to be good stewards of whatever you entrust us with. Be it much, be it little, help us just to be good stewards of your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Luke 16, verse 1, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, okay, we would say an employee, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do, for my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? I cannot beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he, now some think, oh, he wrote it off totally. No, it doesn't say that. He just got some of the money back. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon, of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in a much. Now that's a good general principle that works in all areas of life. Okay, and so he says, if therefore ye have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give to you that which is your own? Okay, so basically, very simplistically, in this is that whatever finances or monetary possessions the Lord gives us, is all we are held accountable for is faithfulness of being a good steward, be it much, be it little. Okay, and one of the biggest obstacles all of us face in personal finances is covetousness. And that's what advertisements do. It breeds covetousness. We think we need something when we don't need it. And it's interesting to me, when I was in Colorado Springs during the summer months, I rode a trash truck. Got to ride in the back, you know, pretend to be a fireman, you ride in the back of a trash truck. It was kind of fun. I kind of enjoyed it. But you know where you find more good garbage? If you go garbage dumpster diving? In the rich areas? In the projects. Those people throw stuff away so easily. The rich people, they usually are stewards of it in order to get there, especially if it's first generation rich. Second generation is different, especially if they went through the depression. Dad had, there was an attorney that Dad used for estate planning. Donald Odell. Donald, you know, you have the calculating machine and then you got the paper. That guy would roll, as the paper would come, he would roll it up and then he would turn it around and print on the other side. Now people say that's cheap. Probably so, but man, that's being efficient. To me, all the extra time wouldn't be worth the effort. But that's what he did. Okay, and that's being very frugal. Okay, now we Dutch are known for being frugal, not stingy. Frugal. Okay, if you have an American and a German and a Dutchman, They find a fly in their soup. An American will say to the waiter, I want a new bowl of soup. The German will take the fly out and throw it out and then have the soup. The Dutchman will grab the fly and say, give it back, give it back. Okay, and that's being frugal. Okay. Okay, now one of our biggest problems is covetousness, but impulse buying, doesn't that get us? Impulse buying is an outcome of covetousness and or a lack of discipline and a lack of discretion. So that's something we all overcome, especially in this age of advertisements and everything. And I don't know if I'm going to get into the advertisements or how to resist those things, but still, that is one of the biggest things we all face is impulse buying. The time when you shouldn't buy a car is when you got the bug. Okay, and so today in our time, the currency we have is a relative term. The value of it is relative in that it depends how much time each of us takes to earn certain parts of that currency. And if it takes you more time to trade your time for that currency, then you have to, you are forced to be more disciplined when you exchange that currency. Now, all of us have this thing that there are many parasites and predators that live off the host, okay, especially in the financial world. The good old common man just works like crazy, works his full head off just to try to make ends meet. And then you have these predators who make millions off of those people. Now, some of those predators and or parasites. Many, you might be surprised, but all of us have parasites. Okay? You all got parasites. Most of them are invisible. Sometimes if you live in a foreign culture and then you take a black walnut tincture, maybe a large parasite will come out your eyeball or your ears or through your skin. I mean, actually, this actually does happen. Okay? But most of our parasites, now, the problem when you go to another culture, when you get the family disease in the other country because you drank the wrong water, it's because you're not used to their parasites. We're used to our parasites. When you go to another culture, they have a different, like a Spanish parasite and a French parasite. Okay, and so if you do drink the water that is not good, that's the reason why. It's because you're not used to their parasites. And that's the bottom line. There's parasites in finances. Okay, now most of them, we don't see them. They're invisible. The parasites in finances would be taxation and inflation. Okay, now that's out of our control. That's what makes a house appreciate in value. It's not the house that's appreciating in value. It's the currency depreciating. Because the Fed manipulates the currency. Okay, but a person can use that for your benefit. In a way, if you have that capability. Okay, and so most of the hidden costs of finances, of legal plunder, are difficult to overcome. Now, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, it is better to leave a good name to your child than an inheritance. It's better to do that. Proverbs 22, verse 1. Okay, it's better, more than anything, is to leave a good name, good character, good work ethics to your children. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So that's better to do. So it's better to leave a good name to your children than an inheritance. And of course, a lot of times it's our circumstances of life that dictate some things. So I'm going to give you just a couple of suggestions. And these ideas are just thoughts we throw out there. It's just like dietary stuff, the stuff I teach on that. You know, I'm not going to hang over your head, you're drinking a pop. You know, I'm going to say, instead of buying it there, buy a large quantity. Somebody just told me, Terry told me, he's got a neighbor, the guy likes beer. He buys it on a pallet. Now that's buying in quantity. He's got to kill his liver. I mean, a forklift to bring it in. Okay, but that's buying in quantity, that's for sure. Okay, number one, seek to be private in your personal finances. How much did you pay for that? Well, you know, I kind of forgot. Seek to be private in your personal finances. Only Americans, you sit in a grocery line and you hear somebody tell their whole life story for the last month. You know, seek to be private in our personal finances was so important to the founders of this country that they put it in the Fourth Amendment to the Bill of Rights. To be private in your papers and in your possessions. And there's nothing wrong with that. And God wants us to do it, and I'll give you an example of that in the Bible. So seek to be private in your personal finances. Okay, it is, now obviously it is continually violated by the banking industry. Okay, I mean, if you're in the banking industry, and I'm not saying don't put your stuff in the bank, but just know that somebody obviously sees those things, okay? But, and plus, unfortunately, plus, to get around the protection of violating our privacy, what phone companies do, like major phone companies, is they'll have a special room where they're tapping everybody's phone, keeping track, and when the feds want a warrant, then they go to the phone company and get what they want, and they say they're not violating your rights. The phone company is breaching their contract. Okay, but still, okay, the idea is seek to be private in your personal finances as best you can. As best you can. Why? Because if by chance the Lord does say give a person wealth, people ought not know it. Because common beggars will seek for a handout. Because the Bible says the rich hath many friends. Now that word friends is pretty loose there. Okay, but still the idea is there. Now, if professional parasites will seek out that prey. So, one thing a person can do is shop at private places. Garage sales. Okay, pay with cash. And operate as much as possible with cash. Why? Privacy. To be private. Okay, now if a person needs receipts, if a person itemizes, okay, that's a different thing. Okay, but even in a world of surveillance, seek to be private. In China, 1 billion people, the Chinese government is seeking by 2020 to have 200,000, I forget, a large number of cameras. And they will have surveillance on people. Like Lyle got a ticket because his car, he drove over a white line, they had it on camera, and he got a ticket for that. Now, in China, they're going to use this to make a demerit system. So if a person is violating something, they'll keep track. They have the person on camera, they'll keep track, and then they will ruin their personal credit by the demerit system. You say, well, all the cameras, how do you get around that? It's very easy. Wear a hat, sunglasses. No problem. Don't look at the cameras. See where they're at? See out of your eyes? Wear sunglasses. Wear some sort of a disguise or something, or, you know, dress differently. There's ways around these things. Numbers, cameras, and computers are used to control people. That's what they're used for. Of course, Revelation chapter 13 in our Bible. Okay, where the Antichrist is using a number. The Social Security system, you know, realize when it first created under FDR, stinking FDR. It was called social insurance. Socialism insurance. That's what it was originally called. And of course, it's not used for identification. Try to get a bank account without it. What's it for? It's not the mark of the beast. A lot of people, oh, the mark of the beast. No, it's simply for control purposes. So what we can do is we try to be as private as you possibly can. Okay, and one way of doing that is to operate by cash. It's not illegal yet to operate by cash. If it becomes illegal, then you figure out something else to barter. Okay, now here's the Bible authority for privacy. Isaiah chapter 39. So seek to be private as possible in your personal finances. Don't be broadcasting to people what you pay for something. Now, if it's family, yeah, you can tell them. Okay, but just seek to be private, very private about things. I think a person ought to be very private. You ought to be unknowing to people in many ways. Of course, we got the ministry in effect. That's different. But in Isaiah 39, there's a guy named Hezekiah. Okay, and many of you know Hezekiah's story. Hezekiah was told he's going to die such and such time, and then he got boo-hooing to God and said, oh, please, please give me more time. So God said, okay, you get 15 more years. Now, I wonder if he marked it on the calendar. And his wife probably said, make sure you pay that insurance policy. Okay, and so as a king, he had some wealth. But he was showing it off. You know, a lot of times people of wealth or means will show it off on their person, and then they wonder why they get robbed when they go into certain places. You're advertising. Thing is, we ought to be unknowing and private. Isaiah 39, we got Hezekiah verse 2. Okay, in verse 1, the king of Babylon sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. What an idiot. To a foreign power? Well, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? From whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasure that I have not showed them. And if you delve deeply into the scriptures of the Hebrew language, Isaiah will say, you are an idiot. And then he says to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be less, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Wow, what a self-centered twerp. Wouldn't it be nice to have peace and truth in the days of your sons, your grandsons? And that's all he was concerned about, is his well-being. Okay, so the idea is in the Bible is live simply, do not flaunt, keep your purchases private, be unknowing to the seller. Be unknowing to the seller. Okay, it's cars. Be unknowing to them. Okay, just say, I'm looking for a good deal. Well, how much are you willing to spend? Whatever is a good deal. That's what I'm looking to spend. Well, how much is that? None of your beeswax. You know, if I can get it for $10, I'll pay you $10 right now. So you want to be unknowing to the seller. You don't want to play your hand. You want to try to get the best deal. Now, I learned from my dad, you know, where he did not like, sometimes people will play dealers against dealers. Well, this guy over here says he's going to give me this. Dad did not like that. And I can understand the principle is because you just go to the one dealer and say, I'm looking for your best price for this item. So he shoots you a price. And then you go to another dealer and say, this is what I got here. You go back to this dealer, then he lowers the price. Well, then you lied to me the first time. I asked for your best price the first time. And you up and you lowered it. Then you lied to me. Okay, so very simple. They'll learn. So I'm asking for the best price you have for that, and then I will say yes or no, okay, and then walk out. But boy, salesmen, they keep you on a hook. The best is to walk out. Okay, now, probably the greatest, does anybody know who the greatest financier in the Bible is? Think about it. It was Noah. Noah floated his stock while the world was in liquidation. How did Noah pay for that? That's why it took so long. He didn't borrow. He should have borrowed because he didn't have to pay it off. Okay, but seek to be private in your personal finances. The second thing, Jeremiah chapter 32. Seek direction from God in our purchases. Seek direction from the Lord. Okay, money or the lack thereof can be a direction from God. Okay, you got $1,000. I want to buy that car. It costs $2,000. Okay, so take it that God says no. Why? Because you don't got the $2,000. Well, I'll just go borrow. Not for a car. It's a depreciating item. I mean, you buy a brand new car off the showroom, drive it off the showroom, brand spanking new. As you drive it off, it just went down $5,000. I don't know how people buy new cars in these days. Okay, I've bought four new cars that I know of in my lifetime. 1974, a baby blue El Camino. 1976, a baby blue Camaro. Okay, then I bought a baby blue Plymouth Horizon. I mean, that's not real impressive, Plymouth Horizon. Okay, but it's better to find something that's even 10 years old that an elderly person babied, took care of it, set in the garage. Less taxes on license plates, less insurance protection. My favorite vehicle I got is that 1972 Chevrolet pickup. It drives brand new. Bought it from a guy that had it in Colorado. Then it was first Colorado. Then it went to Kansas, and this guy kept it in his house. It's got 98,000 original miles now. Okay, it's 72. I mean, that is pre-electronic ignition. That's very important because when, you know, the coppers can't stop it with their gun to shut down your electronic ignition. So the idea is find something older that you can pay cash for. You drive it off and say, that's mine. It's paid for. But in order to do that, seek direction from God. Okay, Jeremiah 32. In Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah and the Bible itself gives us the procedure to buy a major purchase. Jeremiah is in jail. Okay, but obviously you can see that while he's in jail or imprisoned, that he has relative, if you want to call it freedom, he has some form of access to people in public where they can come visit him while in jail. So 32:6, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Okay, so God is giving him direction. Now, I wish that all purchases were no-brainers like this. Okay, but here it is, idea. Seek direction from God for purchases. Okay, now, if you did that when you walked in a convenience store, you'd be buying less. Okay, forget that. So then on verse 8, so Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Okay, so let's transfer that to purchasing a car. If somebody puts pressure on you right now, you got to buy this, walk away from it. Okay, well, what if God wants me to have it? If God wants you to have it, he will hold it. God has a wonderful layaway program. Okay, just mark it down that if it's sold, okay, then just mark it down that God was protecting on that realm. Okay, so he says, I knew that it was the word of the Lord. Now that to me is one of the greatest blessings, and when you have a clear, no-brainer direction. That's great. So then he says, verse 9, and I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that is was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. So he exchanged land money, and I subscribed the evidence, signed it. You can either sign it in front of a notary or three witnesses. That is the same. The only thing is you want to make sure you got three witnesses in case you do die off. You still got somebody to testify that they witnessed that you signed that, where a notary goes on. So you have a written evidence and sealed it and took witnesses. So you had witnesses watching this evidence because a contract has been made. A contract has four elements. It's got an offer. Okay, the offer was buy this property. Acceptance, Jeremiah said, I will buy it. A consideration, okay? Consideration is I will take this much money, you will take this property, that's a consideration. And the intention of legal consequences, what we just did was legal. That's all the elements of a contract. Anything outside of that is not a real legitimate contract. So I subscribed the evidence, sealed it, took witnesses, weighed him the money in the balances. So that goes with Proverbs 11, false balance, abomination, Lord. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law. Okay, so do a little research on the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase on the Baruch. Okay, that would be like his sidekick, like Lone Ranger and Tonto, the son of Mirah, the son of Messiah, and in the sight of Hanamiel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. Then he charged Baruch, okay, take that evidence, said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidence, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. So I hid it somewhere. Now my problem is I hide some things, I forget where I hid it. So you have it in a fireproof safe, have it in maybe an ammo box that can withstand fire, or bury a barrel that doesn't get wet and put it in there. Person say, well, what about the bank or what about a safe deposit box? Yeah, but if a bank closes, whatever's in that box is theirs. So in some way, he's telling us here, you have the evidence, you have it written down, but yet the idea, the bottom line idea in this is seek God's direction. Now, if you have this contract with somebody and you've read it through, okay, you thought it was all hunky-dory, and then you read it maybe a year later, man, that don't make sense to me. Okay, the rule of thumb on that is how to correct it is if there's any ambiguity in a contract, it goes against the author. And the way you can clear it up is to send him a notice and demand. This is the statement. This is my understanding of the statement. Then I'm demanding you in 10 days or less to tell me I'm incorrect or clear up the problem. That's a legal way of doing it. But back to this idea of seeking God's guidance. Patience is a key to prevent failed purchases. Patience. The log home class I took was a two-day log home class. 2 days. And I was kind of thinking, oh, 2 days. Yeah, I'm going to teach how to build a log home in 2 days. Yeah, right. Well, he did. I was impressed. Never built a house a day in my life. Built grain bins, built pole barns. Never built a house. So, two-day class. Now, the guy that taught the class said, take 2 years to build your house. Take 2 years collecting all the supplies, buying them on sale, getting good prices, and then start building your house. 2 years. Who wants to wait that long? Okay, one of the students, several of them did that, but one of the students got all supplies 2 years later, spent $27,000, built a house. That's all he spent. Now, mom and dad spent $27,000 on their brick house in 1969. Okay, but that was 1969. And the idea is you buy things on sale, you wait for things, you get on Craigslist, you look for deals, you wait for things out, you research things. Patience, haste makes waste, is a very easy common saying. So, or a person can fix, repair, or update the items that you already own, learn to appreciate, and improve or take care of the things you have. Preventive maintenance. Take care of what God has given you. A parent buys a kid a bicycle and then they leave it out someplace. They need to take care of it. Okay? And the way we treat possessions or things, they will last longer instead of throwing a wrench down, setting it down, or throwing this down, or setting that down. Setting things down, being gentle with things, they will last a lot longer. Being preventive, being taking care of the maintenance and things like that, it'll last a lot longer. Okay, but in the buying of a vehicle, it's better to buy an older car with low miles. And to me, I think one owner is best. And when I go to the party, if I'm buying it outside of eBay, which I've bought several on eBay, I like to buy them from Florida, Texas, down south because of less rust. You can check on the eBay. You can check, you see the seller's rating. You can do a lot of that. But even at that, if you make that and if you get the purchase, then it's still not guaranteed until you actually visually see it. But if I'm going to somebody's house and they have a car or something that I'm looking to buy, I'm not looking at the car, I'm looking at their property. Are things taken care of here? Are things in order? Is it out of place? Is it dumpy? Okay, that is going to give me a clue of how they take care of that vehicle. Okay, and so that's a better route to go. So haste often does make waste. Waste is ingratitude, not appreciating what we have. Impulse buying is nothing more than relieving a temporary appetite. That's all that it is. Well, I just got the urge for that. And Proverbs 23, it says, when you're sitting to eat with a ruler, and if you're a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Proverbs 23, verse 1 and 2. Why? It's because that's how we're going to live our lives. So we got to teach our children to be disciplined, learn to set goals. Just because we have a quarter in my pocket doesn't mean I'm going to go spend it. Okay? Just because, you know, especially people appreciate things, how much sacrifice they put into it. You know, that's the bottom line. Sometimes, say, like Mike Roberts, when he was in Vietnam, I mean, we were dealing with very poor people there in Vietnam, but he didn't give things away to them. Because in their culture, that degrades their manhood. So he would charge them, say, for a hymn book, you know, 50 cents. Now, obviously, it costs him more than that, but at least they're sacrificing something. And when a person sacrifices something, they tend to appreciate it more. So we teach our children to set goals, save, pay the cash for it, and you will appreciate what you have. So that's on appetites. I mentioned this last week, on our eating habits. Most of our eating habits are our memories. Okay, where we have a good memory of that. We've had a camaraderie, which is not a bad thing. In the Bible, it's interesting that we men, women are different than animals. We fellowship around eating. Well, maybe some men don't. They kind of grunt. Okay, but we fellowship around a table where animals don't do that. You know, they're thinking of themselves. But what that does is that that develops a camaraderie, and then that builds our serotonin. It's a chemical thing, and our serotonin is the happy hormone. So if we can think of ways to develop that happy hormone, okay, we can learn to appreciate things much better. So, okay, I think that's enough of God there. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us. And we've all looked back in our lives, and man, so much, I know me, so much mistakes made financially, so many mistakes, so botched things up so bad, many times just because I didn't seek your direction. You know, a lot of times, most of the time, just because I went on a whim, desire. We've all done that. We've all been there. And Lord, I just pray you'd help each and every one of us to seek to be good stewards of what you've entrusted us with, the best we can by your direction, by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.